And good morning and welcome to Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning from the LaPorte Church of Christ. It is September 1st, 2024, and another month has gone by, and it's just hard to believe. Time's just been flying by. We were able this last week to get Volume 9 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine mailed out, and we're also able to get it sent out on digital format. So do appreciate those of you. Had several people that have actually already received it, so that was good. That was kind of in record time. But do appreciate it if you would shoot me an email and let me know when you get that. It is very helpful. It was part two of gun control. Gun control is people control. And that is, you know, something that we've been talking a lot about. And the message that we just had with Colonel Jack Moore, getting to know Jack Moore, it was a message that was recorded in 88. And Pastor Peters flew down to Arkansas. And we had part one of a two-hour interview that when he interviewed Jack Moore. And basically, it starts off at the beginning, and I've had a lot of people since we've been publishing some of Jack Moore's stuff, as people that have contacted me and wanted to know, who is this guy? Who is Jack Moore? And I think this video does a really good job of explaining who he is and what he is, and there's a lot of history involved in it. Some of it's very graphic history. I remember talking to Pastor Peters about it. We had some people that had suggested that, you know, some of it be edited and some of the stuff taken out of it. And both Jack and Pastor Peters said, no, that's what has happened to so much of our history, is they've taken it out and people don't know it. And they don't realize how bad things really were. And that was their reasoning. If you take offense at it, that's one of the things that both of those men stood on, is people need to know the history. They need to know these things took place. And it was basically so that they could warn people of, communism and what it would do if it took over here in the United States. But it's a fantastic message. And I'm going to make that DVD into a standalone DVD for anybody that would like that. Just let us know and like to send it out to you. That was part one of a two-part series, so the complete video is a two-hour video. But I'm just going to have that as a standalone video because I think it really gives there's just a lot of forgotten history, and I hadn't watched that video. I didn't know if I'd ever seen it, actually, and about halfway through it, it was one that I hadn't seen in years and years and years. I think I was, probably 10 or 12 years old the last time that I'd actually seen it. But good information, and, we're excited to be able to have these things preserved, be able to share them with you, and, get truth and information out that you can get nowhere else. We're thankful for you, the remnant, that continue to make these things possible for us to continue to spread the word of God. Before we get started, though, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And we thank you that we're living in exciting times. We thank you for being our God and that we know that we are your people. And we just pray, Father, that you continue to awaken your people across this land. We pray, Father, that they do just continue to cling to their faith, that they put their faith in action. And, Lord, we pray for the remnant. We just ask, Father, that they just rise higher and higher and bring down your enemies lower and lower. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, and all the forces that come against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. We know that there's an enemy out there. We know that they plot against us, Father, and we know that you're in control, and we thank you for that. We just ask, Father, for an extra dose of the Holy Spirit, that you prepare us and teach us your ways so that we can be called your faithful servants. We pray these things in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got a message a little bit different today, but it's a message by Zach, and it is, "Because the Bible Says So." But before that, we're going to have a song, Onward, Christian soldiers.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching into war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ our royal master leads against the foes. Forward into battle, now our banner goes. Onward, Christian soldiers.
Taken back to that little town, I truly believe that it's not just the town that I'm fighting for. I believe it's the county, it's the state, and the entire nation. It's even more than that. It is the multitude of nations that God promised. I really believe that if God's body is functioning properly, then there is nothing that can stop us. If I didn't believe that, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. It's that simple. I could go and get baptized and basically be a foxhole Christian. But Pastor Peter's inspired me so much, and with his knowledge of the Lord, that I knew he was right, because that's why he kept hammering, taking back the nation. True repentance, that way God could have that, give us that protection. And honestly, as time goes on, and the more focused I get, now I got Paul that comes in with me, and he's a big motivator in the Bible studies. And the more you stick with it, the more you realize that God is training you and testing you, seeing if you are willing to go the distance. And Pastor Peters was willing to go to the distance. Every single one of us here is here because of the work that he did. And I really appreciate the sacrifice that he was willing to make, and he paid a big price in order to, he didn't really tell me the gospel, because I was studying a lot. He made me understand a lot, but he paid a price in order to get me to understand and to get each and every one of you to understand. And we as the body need to understand that. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about because the Bible says so. That's the title of my message. There's a couple of things I'd like to talk about. Our personal motivation as a Christian. Everybody should have a certain basic set of rules that is duplicatable. And that is what you are trying to project out to the world. But first I would like to start out in Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. This is one of the things that we need to realize as a Christian. I'm going to start out with verse 38 and 39. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who has found his life will lose it. And he who lost his life for my sake will find it. Now in verse 39, I don't necessarily think that that's a physical body death, so to speak. I think it is you lose your life, your desires. And you give it. When you're growing up, you want to grow up and get married, buy a house, live the American dream that it's kind of portrayed now today as like the society. They all want to have the best boat. They all want to have the best whatever, and that's like their dream. But when we become Christians, we lose that. We give that up. We really do. We, in essence, are saying to God that it is no longer my will, my desires. It is your will and your desires. So that's one way that we lose our life. And I honestly believe that. Because I know I could go out, get baptized, live my life, and maybe I'll be in heaven, maybe I won't because I didn't bear up my cross. But I know I can survive here on this earth. I also understand it is simply not about me. It is about my sons and daughters. It is about their children when they grow up. What kind of place are they going to live in if I don't do something? What kind of place are all of our children going to live in if we don't do something and get motivated? We have to ask ourselves this, because I know politically there's a lot of things going on where the conservative side is really excited and they're more of a Christian base. But I was talking with a couple of guys around here today when we were talking about the generation that's coming up that doesn't have both parents. And, you know, they're basically video game children. Do you honestly think, the way the system's set up, do you honestly think that with, like, how the system's set up with your Social Security and your pensions, the way these guys that are, like, 20 and 15, do you think that this country is producing children to be able to support that? Do you even think they got a chance to do it? It's a yes or no question. The answer is no. It is right now. It's right now. So we have to lose our lives and go out there and fight this fight that our pastor and Jesus Christ and John the Baptist so brilliantly displayed. They were a great example. I really don't know who I respect more. On a spiritual side, it's obviously Pastor Peters. On a physical, reach deep down and survive in this world, it has to be my dad. The two are literally, I mean, they're neck and neck because you need both of them. But I'm here because of Pastor Peters and what he did. I'm here because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did. So we have to simply accept the fact that we need to lose our lives. One thing I am so, and I hear this every single Sunday, I'm going to die and go to heaven. It infuriates me so badly. For one, they just want to be able to basically check out and get out of Dodge. They only care about themselves. Because if they truly cared about the generations behind them, they would understand that they need to do something. And when they do die, with the mentality that they have, what is God going to say to them? You are hosed because you didn't get it. So that's the first thing that we need to understand as a Christian. It is not our will, the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done, not my will be done. Okay? Turn with me to Mark 16. I knew I was on the right track because I started putting this together this morning. I had several ideas of what I wanted to do. And I looked on the... I started going, and then I looked on the thing, on our brochure, or the schedule, excuse me, in the bottom, in the very end, is Mark 16 and 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he who has not, who has disbelieved, shall be condemned. That's on this. My opening, one of my opening scriptures was Mark 16. So let's turn there and take a look at it. Now this is the beginning of the last commands that Jesus Christ gave to the 12 disciples, or the 11 at the time, because Judas hung himself. So let's examine this a little bit. Verse 15, and he said to him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This ministry understands the gospel better. Well, they know the gospel. They understand it. I have not. Now, most of the guys that I knew that understood the gospel, all those guys are dead. I don't know who is taking their place. I don't know. But there are faces here that I don't recognize, and I simply don't know where you're at. So we're going to kind of go over the gospel a little bit, because this is the core of Our mission, it is repeatable. What is the gospel? Most people say that the gospel, Jesus died for our sins, and if we believe, some say accept, some say get baptized, some say you just got to believe, in Jesus, and that's the gospel. It is not the gospel. The gospel starts all the way back in Genesis. And the group that I teach back home, we're taught to be New Testament Christians. They ain't got the foggiest idea about the history of Israel, the promise that was given to Abraham. They know nothing. They know nothing. So the approach that you have, that I decided to take, was to start from ground zero, and we'll just learn together. So for those of you that don't know who it is, I'll just give a quick overview. In Genesis 12, God approaches Abram, and he tells Abram, you're going to be a blessing on the earth. You're going to become a mighty nation. Those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I am going to curse. Now, your average 99.9% of the churches out there, that is all they know about Abram. Is that? Not even once the thought enters their head, why is he called Abraham? Okay? But that's it. So, for one, you got to figure out what God says is, what is a curse from God and what is a blessing from God? Most people don't even know. Now, that's your job. You got to explain that to them. Genesis 15, God comes to Abram again. And he says, I'm going to attach a bunch of land to it. And I'm going to keep my word. And then he passes through the two halves of the calf. What that is a maledictory oath. It is a death oath. It is what he's saying, if I do not keep my word, then basically kill me. The same fate that falls on these animals. Now, this group here, for the most part, understands that Israel got divorced and booted out. Right? So, now, God had that oath attached to the promise with Abram. Well, then he comes in Genesis 17 and promises, you are going to be a multitude of nations. I know this is overview for most everybody, but there might be somebody there that does it. No, and I'm going to take the opportunity. So then he says, I'm going to make you a multitude of nations through Isaac. And it is a flesh covenant. One of the things that's involved in that whole talk that God has with Abram, because that's when his name was called to Abraham, is those that were bought with money or that are not of Isaac, they are to be circumcised as well. What does that tell us? Our God is not into multiculturalism. It's his way or the highway. All right? You have to... That's just the way it is. So, we know Israel got hauled down to Egypt. They were there for 400 years. They came out. They made a promise to obey God. They did not obey God. There was a separation, which is called the House of Judah. That's in Kings. And our God divorced the 10 northern tribes because of their wickedness. And he sent in the Assyrians and hauled them all off. Well, what does that mean? There's still that maledictory oath attached to that. That's got to be paid for. And she's divorced. I don't think people really understand the price and the promises that God really, really promises. I think we take it for granted. But we can see from Genesis 17 that our God is in the nations building business because he promised them a multitude of nations. He said, they will be my people and I will be their God. We know that those people are, I've actually never said this line and I've always wanted to say it, they are the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred, Celtic and kindred people, excuse me. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. That's a multitude of nations and it's all over the world. And that is the gospel. That's the gospel right there, that he came back and got Israel. He freed him from that maledictory oath and he freed Israel from the law of divorce. Verse 16, he who has believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So in verse 15, we kind of got a basic frame of what the gospel is, and that's what Pastor Peters pushed better than anybody else. That is the gospel. It is not the gospel that the other churches preach. A couple weeks ago, I was at church. It happened to be my turn to not only lead the Bible study, but to give the sermon. And during that Bible study, one of the men said that he was talking to a preacher. And he's kind of poking at the preacher. And the preacher flat out told him that he knew what he was preaching did not line up with the Word of God. He knew it. And then another guy said, yeah, my old preacher said that too, and he was only in it for the money. There's a lot of churches out there like that. There really is. A lot of them. They are, that first one was intentionally working against the will of our God. And he knew it. No wonder why Jesus says, how are you going to escape the sentence of hell? But that's not here. That's not here in this building today. Because we know what the gospel is. We know that our God is in the nations building business. We know that Jesus Christ came back for his bride. So what's the problem? For one, you got a bunch of, as Pastor Peters used to say, a bunch of dirty bird preachers out there. You can't trust any of them. Don't even trust me. Trust the Word of God. So we've given a kind of a definition of what the gospel is. And what Jesus intends to do. The reason why it's not so and things are going bad now is as it was before, 100% disobedience to God's word and his will, and Jacob is being disobedient. It's that simple. John 14. John 14, 12 through 15. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Does anybody have any idea what the greater works are than that Jesus did? Anybody ever think about that? Greater works than what Jesus did. Now, I'm not saying, I think Jesus is talking about the miracles that he performed. I am not saying what he accomplished on the cross. I'm separating that too, those two. What took place that was greater works than what Jesus did? The name of Jesus Christ was spread all across the world. And there were nations that used him as a foundation. They were able to use this Bible as the rock. This country flat out says it in Public Law 97-280. That's a greater work. But now we look back, or we look at our situation that we are in today. Many false prophets. You can't trust anybody. We are in a Judeo-Christian infested society. They've helped nobody. And they're not going to. It is up to us that have the knowledge of what the true gospel is to push that out. I believe that we can do it. I really do. I know we can. You have to act on what you believe. It's that simple. Turn with me to James 1. Or James 2, excuse me. Faith without works. Okay. Even so, faith, if it has no works, it is dead, being by itself. But if someone may well say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons believe also and shudder. Our job is to promote the gospel accurately. Jesus will do his part if we do our part. We all know that we're added to the body through baptism. So now we're a body. Now, okay, everything I talked about right there, and one guy in his head, he gets his head wrapped around that piece of cake, right? Go for it. But we're supposed to be a body. We're supposed to be a body because we're all here. And we're supposed to work together in a fashion that glorifies God and pushes out the message, the gospel message. Turn with me to Colossians 8. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 18. This is talking about, I'll start with 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. It says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and the body is the church. We, right here, we know the true gospel. Are the physical body of Jesus Christ here on earth. It says it right there. And our head is Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? He is the commander in chief. He dictates all of our thoughts. His word dictates everything. It is judge, jury, executioner, everything that goes on in our lives. Now, I'm not saying I got it perfect, because I don't. We need to be motivated to... We need to put the gospel in front of everything. Everything. That is first priority. That's your basic general issue thing. Push the gospel. Push the true gospel. Work in unison as the body. Because Jesus is our head. Do we have that unity? No. We don't. Can we obtain that unity? How do we obtain that unity? We do like Timothy says, study. That's what I always tell the congregation and back home. Study, study, study. Okay? We just went through the covenant, the three parts of covenant, the three parts covenant with Abraham back home. And I told them, you need to amend your thoughts. Change your thinking. Not because the tree guy said so. The tree guy did not say so. He is repeating what Genesis said. That's it. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter. I mean, because that was the will of God. And when we have active preachers knowingly working against the will of God, we got a problem. Because their numbers are higher than our numbers. Is everybody cut out to stand up here like this? No. No, 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 no. No. I tell you what. A few years ago, I read something in Jasher, and I showed it to Jason, and he wanted me to tell the men's group. I was just going to read something. I was so terrified to stand in front of them that it was awful. But God has had an ability to put me in a lot of positions to where I've had to think under an extreme amount of pressure. So I was able to get through it. But, and plus I qualify, I'm weak and foolish. I mean, you have an entire Judeo-Christian society out there that believe that the Jewish people are God's chosen people, and they don't know the first thing about the covenant of Abraham. And I come along to this little group, this 501c3 church, and I'm trying to flip it. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. Because why is it going to happen? Because I'm simply not smart enough to make up those three covenants. That's the center of everything. Everything. And if people don't understand that, the entire world suffers. Take a look around. I was talking with this guy. He's trying to date this girl. And she was going to run off to Uganda to preach the gospel. Now, I said to him, I said, you need to like not be anywhere around her. And he's like, why? I mean, she doesn't have enough sense to see that the neighbor across her street is in just as much need as those people in Uganda. If your own house isn't in order, what makes you think you're going to run over there and help them? Obviously, it doesn't work. They're still starving over there. 1 Corinthians 12. I want to read 13 through 31. For we know by Spirit that we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. See, there's that common bond right there. We're made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not made up of one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not the eye, I am not part of the body, it is for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. There's a common theme there. God's the boss. I was telling my little group there, one of the biggest problems we got going on here is nobody knows their Bibles and they'll believe anything that you tell them. What did Pastor used to say? You might love your preacher now, but you're going to hate him come judgment day. You know, all those people put so much faith in what these men say. Killers. Whether they know it or not. Verse 19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, or again, head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members much more presentable. So we all work together. We're all in this together. That's the mentality we have to have to project this gospel. This gospel, this first command that Jesus said to push out. Because it'll deliver the world. It will deliver the world. When there's so many people out there that are not preaching the true gospel, that happens. Then they are not delivered. On the contrary, I'm already there. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but it has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. What did Jesus say? A house divided cannot stand. And we're not supposed to have division. If we have divisions, then we cannot push the true gospel. If we cannot push the true gospel, then we cannot be the blessing that God called us to be. Anytime you screw up, no matter which way you look at it, we got to take a big look in the mirror. Now you are Christ's bodies and individual members of it, and God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gift of healing, help, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Are they not apostles? All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles. All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desiring the greater gifts, I will show you still more the excellent way. Everybody has a job. As an individual, You have a job. Project the gospel properly. Find out what God wants you to do in his body. Nobody can tell you what God wants you to do. God has to tell you. And when you figure it out and he lets you know, do it. Because, like I said in the beginning, do you really think the next two generations can support the way it's set up? We're in Babylon. If you want Babylon the same way, or if you want Babylon to keep going, then don't do anything. Or we can start listening to the head and take Babylon out. So, the theme is an appeal to heaven. I have an appeal to heaven. My appeal to heaven is for the body, for one, to be repentant when they need to be repentant. Take your lumps from God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. When you screw up and God is working you over, take the beating. Don't try to pawn it off on something else. Take the beating. Because you screwed up. God will... If God chastises you, then you know he loves you. He's our Father. He does have a lot of mercy. Don't go on just... You know what I mean? But... So my appeal to heaven is that our body works in the unity and in unison the way Christ intended. He is the commander in chief. My dad always used to tell me, my dad is the second most important thing that my dad pounded into my head was the phrase, pay attention to detail. Every time we'd be out doing something, pay attention to detail. We were tree guys. He says, you could do the best trim job in the whole world on a tree, but if your cleanup is crap, the whole thing's crap. Pay attention to detail. Pay attention to detail. When you see somebody doing something that's in the... Because... The whole, when something's going sideways, when one member is in trouble and hurting, the whole body is affected. We need to understand that. Okay? So we as ourselves pay attention to detail and pay attention to our Holy Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, and go forward. Because if we are able to accomplish the body working properly, then this is what's going to happen. The reason why it hasn't happened is because we haven't accomplished this. 2 Corinthians 10, everybody knows this one. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh and blood, divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. When we get that figured out, we've achieved it. I listened to this podcast, and one of the hosts on it is the guy that they actually made the movie about Lone Survivor. Who here has seen Lone Survivor? Very few. Lone Survivor, the guy was a Navy SEAL, and He ended up getting all shot up and rescued. But anyways, he's always talking about the team. The team. The team. Everything's for the team. Everything, the team is always accomplishing a mission. And when you're out of line, the team comes after you. And there's this one guy on this story. I'm going to end up, this one guy, they come after you. I'm not going to bring that up. That's the kind of mentality that we need to have. It's for the team. What's the team? The body of Jesus. Who's our leader? Who's our commander? Jesus Christ. He calls the shots. What are the shots? Project the gospel. First and foremost. Every time. Everything else is secondary. Because if you're not projecting the gospel property, I don't care what happens in your life. It ain't got that gospel down perfectly. Now, if you ain't got that gospel down, it don't mean squat. It was all for nothing. So my appeal to heaven and my prayer to God is that the body works in that unison. Nobody is above anybody else. For each and every one of the adults, because literally disaster is right around the corner. Do what Jesus tells you to do. He will make everything work together. Just obey to project out that gospel. Because it's going to happen, either out of desperation or willingness. I'm going to do it willingly. I'm going to do it willingly. Because there's that are hungry. They understand that they've been lied to through the media. Their preachers have been lying to them. On every level of their life, they understand that they're being lied to. The fields are ripe. There are tares in the fields too. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. So as we get ready for communion, I want to play this song. But I want you to think while you're singing this song. We got to repent and we got to be motivated to accomplish the will of our Lord and Savior. He paid a big price.
We do.
generations after us depend on us following through. They really do. I got ones at home that are like this. I don't do anything because I don't do anything for me. I do it for them. And I do it for the ones that are coming up. We have a lot of work to do. Let me pray over this. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, first and foremost, if we haven't properly prepared ourselves to take this communion, we ask that you overlook it. So that this communion be a blessing and not a curse. Lord, we pray that this time, this weekend, that we recharge our batteries, get things back into perspective the way they need to be brought back in. Lord, we pray that your goal, your will, is locked in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, we ask that each and every one of us, that we get assigned a job to do that you ask us to do. Lord, give us the discipline and the strength to follow through with it. Lord, we just pray for repentance and anyone who needs it. Lord, reveal the things that need to be revealed in their lives. Lord, strengthen them in any way that you see fit. Lord, and as we take this communion, Lord, we just ask that it gives us life and strength. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may partake.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to